4CEF, KQ4GIV.
4CIV, KO4CEF, how you doing this evening?
Man, your mom's been sitting out back, and I cooked some chicken on the grill, and she made some french fries and things, and we sit out here and enjoyed ourselves.
Yeah, looks like it's a pretty day for it.
It's good out here. Temperature's not real hot. Wind's just barely blowing, and we're enjoying it.
I'm getting to take the detour home because 85 is the parking lot.
Whether you're going to have to or not, but a lot of times it is a parking lot.
Hit or miss, some days it's not that bad, it's just slow, but as I was about to get on the interstate, I could see just everything just coming to a crawl. So I think there was a wreck or something down on 290 as I was checking the cameras. It doesn't look too bad, but I'm not going to take a chance. I'm just going to go the back way and enjoy the ride home.
Play me on that. I heard a couple of guys talking. I didn't forget his name or his handle. He was talking about a flatbed truck had some propane tanks on it. Some of them jumped off and the cars hit them. It was on the 85 north.
Is there another contact in there? Go ahead.
He's just going to let you know, Eric was the one, and I were the ones talking about that. He said there was a flatbed truck lost several of the 20-pound cylinder propane tanks on 85 North. So that's why all the confusion out there.
That makes sense. Are you using a new radio, Patrick? Because you got a... It's kind of like APRS. I know that's not what it is, but it's like there's something on the tail end of your... whatever you let off the key.
I'll turn that feature off when I find it. Just hadn't found it yet.
Radio?
It was out with the Bluetooth to work with the computer system that Cliff's working on.
Well, you figure it out. You can help my dad out. He's got the same radio. Unless you're talking about the little handheld unit. He's got the mobile. You still liking that thing? How you liking your radio still?
Good, but I can't sit out back and talk on it. I can go bring my little handheld out.
Help you with that when you're going to get your own handhelds on the... But, the plus side is, if you're not in the house, pretty much any radio should work at that point. Because if you're on the HD, it's doing fine right now.
Well, I heard Patrick, I mean, he was clear. I've heard him, Patrick, I think I've heard you a couple of times today.
Heard me a couple times if you're listening. I was talking to Eric probably about 30 minutes ago when he was maybe a little longer, maybe 45 minutes ago about the propane tanks. I'm sure that's what's causing mass confusion out there on 85 because you think about losing propane tanks on 85 and cars, isn't it?
Yeah, that makes me pucker up a little bit.
I'm going to jump out. I just wanted to let you know what was going on out there. Y'all continue on KO4HKX, and I'll be clear. 7-3, guys. Good to hear you.
7-3, and I think that's some kind of identifier. I don't remember what the menu is, but it's under the same settings as APRS, but it's near it, I believe. And you can turn that off with the some kind of identifier.
I'm trying to get the APRS to work without doing that. But every time I turn the APRS on, it wants to do that, so I got to figure it out.
Can't help you there. I just disabled it, and I never did turn the radio on to enable the APRS. I figured my dad, KQ4GIV, he's just pretty much sitting still, so no need for APRS beacons going off.
GIV, Patrick, have a good day. 7-3 to you.
GIV, KO4CF, did you have the... Nah, I know you got the day off. Did y'all both have the day off today?
Hey,
now. I can't call you by your name, and it just kind of feels weird to say dad and mom over the radio, so I just give you a call sign.
I understand that. You know I'm no longer working, right?
You had the day off, but she had the day off as well.
She had the day off because she works there, and you Well, she works Saturday, she's off Sunday and Monday, so she's off this Monday, then she'll be off next Monday.
Have a good day for it.
Your mommy's having y'all doing the honeydew list.
Come a house
husband,
you got that list you
got to
take care of.
Is that right? We had roads, when's last day we rode?
Last Sunday week.
It's been a while since we got on the back.
Well, can you ride around and you see any decent cars for sale? I got to find one for Shane because it's about that time. Come to find out, he can get his full license at 17 without doing the driver safety course.
Now you're going to be nervous when that happens.
Don't be nervous. I ain't too bad about it. I mean, he does fine. I mean, he's no seasoned driver, but he tends to listen. You know, sometimes he knows everything. It's a typical teenager, right? You know, you know everything. You get older and you get stupid. So, you know, you have to tell him some stuff. But he tends to listen all right. But, you know, he still needs experience. But I want to go ahead and get his car. That way he can start driving it. And then figure out what he needs to do from there, you know what I mean? That way he's not learning the car, he's not taking the test in.
Understand all that. I hadn't been looking at any cars lately. I get on Facebook, I start looking at motorcycles.
I'm trying to find him a BMW, but I tell you what, a lot of them I've seen on there have salvage titles or, you know, somewhere along those lines, and I don't really trust it. The other car he likes is like a Ford Fusion. You know, they're pretty nice looking cars, not too bad. So, you know, I may end up buying one of those.
From the auto trader and put in what you want and, you know, put your zip code in and how far you're willing to travel and everything. And it bring up dealerships plus private sales. And that's how I found your mommy's car, her Explorer, whenever I did that. And we looked at it online. We went and looked at it. Next thing you know, we had it.
Now look, I've been using AutoTraderCars.com, Kelly Blue Book. You can go on their website now, and they've got some cars. And then I use CarEdge.com. It was funny. I was on Kelly's Blue Book yesterday, and I always sort by, you know, no accidents reported. I was looking at one car. Front end was all jacked up. I mean, part of the bumper's gone and everything else. I'm like, well, they definitely didn't report it, but it was still there.
Yeah, you never know what you're going to get. I think I found two Harleys today. One's a Sportster and one's a, I think it was a Electric Glide or Road King. Two of them for $2,000 for both of them, but they would flood back.
Seeing a few of those show up. I think that's probably some of the salvage cars as well. You know, either they've been in a bad wreck and they, you know, totaled the car, or it's a flood car. Cause you can see where they've come from, and you know, you get some of those. So they're definitely out there. I mean, don't get me wrong, they might not be bad cars, but I still don't want to roll the dice on one of them. That's the only downside. KO4C.
GIV. On the flood cars, the worst thing would be the electronics, because, you know, if it could get in on the connectors and things and corrode. It might not cause problems now, but down the road, you might be chasing electronical gremlins everywhere.
And the newer the car, the worse that gets, because they put more and more modules in them as they go. Shoot, I found a 2020 Ford Fusion. I mean, like, it's a top tier package that Ford puts on it. It's like a titanium or something. And they only wanted like $6,000 or $7,000 for it. I mean, the car looked great. And I finally found it, and I looked at the Kelly's Blue Book, and it had been totaled out. And it's listed on there. I'm like, yeah, I don't want that one.
Main thing is, take your time, and you'll find one. That's what I always did. I mean, you know, you might have to look for a while. But take your time, you know, make sure you get a good one, and then go from there. I mean, you know, but you know, I know you're kind of on timeline with him coming up getting his license pretty soon, but you know, just take your time and check him out.
I mean, I'm not trying to be in a big hurry. You know, that's not my strong suit is patience, though. So, but this bag is, I found a little, it's like 2013, 2014 1 Series, you know, a little entry level BMW, still good safety ratings and everything. And, I mean, they didn't want a ton of money for it, but it's a convertible. And he won't consider a convertible for nothing. I mean, nothing at all.
I can't really blame him because, you know, the convertibles tend to have problems. They might not have them right now, but with BMW route and all those hydraulic lines and everything, if you get one and it leaks, I had them tell me what they do. They take the old top off, throw it away, put a brand new, they take everything off. The hydraulics, the tops, everything. If the top ain't working, put your new one on. And it was going to cost me more to get a top than what I paid for my car.
I remember installing the convertible top on the Z4 Roadster. I mean, it went all in as one piece. I mean, it was just the entire unit, glass, everything just went in, and you just bolted it to the car. And then they made whatever connections to it, and it was a done deal.
Mommy wanted me to ask you about... She read that somebody got hit by a car in the parking lot.
So we had a, it was an associate. I got a little more detail out of it. He was walking out of the parking lot. He had his earbuds in, not paying attention. And I guess the car never seen him. You know, I just saw in the news a few days ago where they announced that he was dead. So, it's a bad deal, you know, leaving work and end up not going home, going to the hospital, and never going home.
That right, though. I hate that happens, stuff like that. But, you know, you gotta use common sense, those earbuds. You know, just leave them out.
Nowadays, everybody likes to walk in with them, you know, on. I don't know why. I mean, some, you know, you buy some really nice ones, and they'll actually pick up ambient noise and pass it through and whatnot, but... At the same time, you know, most people don't buy the expensive ones, they buy the cheap ones, and they don't do that. You know, you end up doing something, like I said, walking out of work one day and not paying attention, and it's all over with.
Right, yeah, I hate that happen, but I'm almost at the store up there and have people come, I mean, they fly through the parking lot. I'm not saying that happened at BMW, but... up there in the parking lot, I mean, they cut through and they fly one end to the other end trying to get to the red light. And I'm surprised that nobody got hit up there.
The first time we've had an incident in the parking lot, but it's the first death that I've known from something happening in the parking lot.
When I worked at BMW, we had a some gals ex-husband or husband that was about to be an ex-husband put a bomb in a car and blew her car up there. So that was pretty bad.
Stories through the years, I mean, I've heard all kinds, but this is probably the worst one. I mean, there's been other people, you know, we had the contractor a few years ago that he got killed because he didn't lock out the equipment in the paint shop correctly and whatnot, but I think this is the first time that BMW associates have been killed on property like this.
No, I had never heard of one, and yeah, that's bad. Well, Drew, I'm gonna get off and do some other stuff right now. And you be careful on the road. KQ4GIV 732, and I love you. Be careful.
No, y'all enjoy the rest of the evening, and we need to get up there one day and get some food together and enjoy a day as a family. So, but anyway, y'all have a good one. 73KO4CEF, and I'll be standing by.
KO4CEF, KO4PXB.
KXB, this is KO4CEF. How you doing this evening?
Yep, I'm doing good. Highway 14 in Simpsonville. How's your day?
Going too bad. I mean, you know, I'm taking a scenic trip home, but, you know, I got the radio to keep me company, and it's not been bad overall, so... make sure I got, I think, I'm going to say your name. I'm horrible with names, but is it Lloyd? Is that right?
That is correct.
I got names, but for some reason yours sticks in my head. I don't know why. The name here is Andrew, but, yeah, I mean, uneventful trips home are the best ones, so.
Yep. So pretty much every day now that I don't have to travel 85 is an uneventful trip home. There's, I think, about a little over a month ago, there was an accident on Highway 14, but it was easy to navigate around it.
I usually don't like taking the back way just because it adds, I don't know, maybe 5-10 minutes to my trip. But at the end of the day, it's a whole lot more enjoyable than going down 85 most days. So I really don't mind it half the time. About the only bad part is on my way home to Spartanburg, I cut through the Duncan area. And once you get to 29 and Highway 292, it gets a little congested in that little intersection right there.
Yes, sir. I definitely know where you're talking about because I've had to come the back way home before when I worked in Spartanburg. It definitely have to definitely go slow, especially going through Woodruff where they will definitely write you a ticket for going a couple miles over.
You go through the little towns, you might as well just take your time and enjoy it.
Yep, set your speed limit for 5 miles under, and you'll be safe.
You really don't want to give them any extra reasons. I mean, there's plenty of police officers out there that look for the small towns that, you know, they really don't have anything better to do, which, you know, I don't blame them. I mean, there's plenty that can be found. When me and the wife, we watch On Patrol Live on the weekends, and, you know, they pull somebody over for tent, and I'll be darned if they don't find a bunch of drugs in the car or something. You're like, I can see why they do it. I mean, there's plenty to be found.
Yeah, that's why when I have my concealed weapons permit, I keep it in the glove box and locked up as required. And like I said, but when I went through a couple of traffic checks before, I'll have my license out and my insurance and ready and my CWP, and I'll let them know that it's in the glove box, and he'll go, well, just don't reach for it. I'm going, I had no intent of doing that.
Best way to handle it. I had my CWP a long time ago, probably a few years after they ended up rolling that out in the state, and then I let it expire after moving and stuff like that. But you know, even now that you don't have to have it, I still don't really carry that much anymore. I mean, I might keep it with me and do like you said, put it in the glove box somewhere where it's locked up, but for the most part, I don't really carry it as much as I used to.
The glove box does not have to be locked. It just has to be in the glove box because, to me, if you're having to use it, and you have to take the key out of the ignition to get it to protect yourself, then it's pretty stupid having it locked up.
There's always been some kind of questionable rules. I mean, even if you didn't have it, you'd have to have it, you know, unloaded and locked and whatnot. You're just like, well, if I really need it, it's not going to do me any good after that.
Nope. I bet there's been quite a few people shot trying to load it because either it's having to keep it unloaded and stuff like that. Yeah, it's just crazy.
It surprised me.
The thing that scares me about the law in South Carolina now, I think it pretty much states that you do not have to have a permit to carry your weapon, but I know by going through the class, there's information people need to know about carrying a weapon for safety's sake that should not be, okay, yep, you can do an open carry.
Absolutely right. I mean, I remember doing mine, and the instructor, he repeated over and over and over again, you know, knowing what's behind your target? What's beyond your target? Little things like that that people don't always think about. You know, even my kids, you know, they go to scout stuff and, you know, they learn to use a rifle and we go to the range. You know, little things like that is not communicated at all times. Yeah, people just don't always think about.
Nope, that's why I let my wife know when shooting targets or even trying to hit a person. Hit the angle for the biggest part of the body. Right. Know what's behind that target because you're still responsible because it doesn't through and through into somebody.
And I think when they passed the law, what they made it where sled still had to offer training or something, but I'm curious how many people still take advantage of it.
I have no idea. I was at going in Home Depot a couple of days ago, and I had my weapon on me in my holster, and the lady found the manager, and they both come up to me, and she pointed me out to him and said that she was afraid because I had my weapon on me, and the manager goes, I'm sorry. I said, there's nothing I can do. I said, our store does not have it posted where you cannot carry a weapon in here. So he's in his legal right to do so.
I can understand that. I mean, it's surprising, but I was, you know, the open carry, I was surprised by the open carry. I haven't really seen many people doing it, you know, which is surprising, you know, because you thought you would have the people that just wanted to do it for show. Start to do it, but the actual open carry, I've been surprised about that, you know, but at the end of the day, I don't generally want people to know you're carrying, but if they do find out, that's the plus side is, you know, before if you had your CWP, you're supposed to keep it, you know, nobody's supposed to know about it, so you had to make sure it stayed concealed, and that's probably the one benefit of the new law, where if somebody does see it, it's not that big a deal as long as you're not in an area where you're not supposed to carry it.
Yeah, like I said, one thing that when, I guess, people get sometimes maybe an itchy finger when they see other people, you know, having their weapon that's not concealed, then their radar goes up on going, why? Because you're right, without training, and I think they still go through a background check, but still there's, you know, people out there, even today, with permits that probably doesn't need them anymore.
About that, or, you know, I mean, the instructor's certified, but at the end of the day, who's to say that, you know, everybody that got through the class was quite up to where they needed to be? I mean, and they weren't making a ton of money off of it, but it was still money.
Yeah, I definitely know that for a fact because one of the ladies that was going through the class with us, literally she kept swinging her pistol and she was swinging it down beside her, but sometimes she was letting the barrel go back toward the shooting tables where they put the other people are standing, and he got onto her a couple of times about that and told her if she did it one more time that she'd have to come back and go through retraining.
And the bad part is, you know, some people don't think about it, you know, they don't realize how bad that is, you know, when you don't have any kind of barrel control and you're not paying attention to where you're pointing it. You know, it's the little things like that out of the training that's beneficial that most people don't think about.
Yep, I tell my wife and daughter when we're shooting to, especially if the casing goes, you know, down the shirt, you know, either when we're going shooting, to wear a high-collared shirt, or if they don't, then to maintain muzzle control when that round goes down their shirt. So just make sure that you either put that weapon down or you make sure it stays down range where where it's safe.
I can't remember where it was. It used to be a rifle range that I remember going to whenever I was younger with my dad, and you would shoot through these tubes. It was really weird. It was the weirdest setup I've ever saw, but each station you were were shooting through a tube, and you couldn't actually see what was on the other side but your own target. And I tell you what, that range safety officer that they had down there, I think it was a ranger, but man, he was on it. I remember that part of it. Like, he would get on people. You couldn't even be touching your weapon whenever people were going downrange, because, you know, obviously you couldn't see somebody until they were right in front of you. But, man, I just remember that part of it with him just being so strict that you had to just totally take a step back and step away from your weapon, or else he would eject you from the place.
Definitely good. All right, sir. I am now in my driveway, so I'll say 73 to another time. It's great talking with you. This is KO4PXB.
Have a good one. I got the wife calling myself, so 73T, and hope you have a great evening, and maybe we'll talk at you again on the radio. KO4CM, and I'll be clear.